Come on, give him glory. Hallelujah. Come on, give him glory.
Is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel radio serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 MW Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Amen, amen. God bless you, and we certainly thank God for all of you who are faithful tithers. The tithe, as Reverend Dorsey said, is holy unto the Lord. And we want to make sure that we honor God by giving back 10%. Now, that was the Old Testament standard, 10%. But the New Testament standard is the more you give, the more God will give to you. Amen. And then we always thank those of you who share in the pastor's love gift. Amen. God bless you. I want to, at this time, congratulate our own Minister Miller. Stand up, Minister Miller. She has been selected as the chaplain of a professional women's basketball team, the Dallas Skyline team. Amen. A part of the basketball league. And we're really godly proud of her and how God is using her, not just in Leesville, amen, but across this nation. We thank you. Amen. Let me make this announcement, and then we'll have another song by our musician. And after that, we will hear the word of God. Amen. Our superintendent and I consulted before service this morning as it relates to the time that we start our Sunday school. And we've discovered in the past two Sundays that by starting at 9, we're left with a whole lot of time. So we're going to now start at 9:30. Amen. We will now start at 9:30, which gives us enough time to have the lesson taught, because right now we're not in the classrooms. We're doing it in the sanctuary for the adults and in the fellowship hall for the youth so that we can maintain social distancing. So up until the time that we go back into the classroom, Sunday school will start at 9:30 a.m. Amen. And we believe that will give us enough time to really cover the lesson in depth and then start our morning worship service at 10 o'clock a.m. So please make note of that. Also, we want to remind you that we will continue with our weekly Bible study. It will stay online, amen, not in person. We're going to be on Zoom and Facebook Live for our weekly Bible study Wednesdays at 7 o'clock. God bless you, and may he bless you real good.
Let Jesus sleep.
And sisters in Christ, we are so happy to be in the house of the Lord one more time. And let me just say to those of you who are considering whether or not you should come and fellowship in the house, I want to just let you know that our ministry reopening team, they are at their post and they're taking temperatures as people enter and making sure that people have on their mask. And if you don't have a mask, they have masks that they will give you, amen. And our church is being sanitized by our custodian every Saturday before we come into the building. Now, I want to encourage you, if you haven't been vaccinated, get vaccinated, as I have, amen, and many others have. Now, I know this is personal and for some private, but for those of you in the house, if you don't mind, if you've been vaccinated, just lift your hand for a quick second. Wow, amen. So most people have been vaccinated, and there comes with being vaccinated a certain degree of safety. And we thank God for the folk who had the knowledge that God gifted, amen, to come up with the vaccine so that we could be safe. God bless you. In the book of Mark, chapter 7, Mark chapter 7, we will commence reading at verse 24. There is a word from the Lord. Mark chapter 7 and verse 24. I'm really happy to see all of the children and young people here today. Amen. And we want to get our young people back in the house. Y'all know that we are a youth-driven ministry. Young people are important here at Pleasant Hill. Mark chapter 7, verse 24 through 30. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into an house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. Verse 29, and he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. Amen. For just a few moments this morning, we want to speak to your hearts from this subject, how to get the devil out of your house. How to get the devil out of your house. Thank you, ushers. In this seventh chapter of the gospel, as recorded by St. Mark, we find the first and only time that Jesus had left his home region during his adult life. You remember that when he was a baby, his mother Mary and her husband Joseph took him and fled to Egypt because Herod the Great was looking to kill him. But when Herod died, they returned to Galilee, and there he spent the rest of his earthly life, except for this one trip to the borders of the twin cities called Tyre and Sidon. Now, the master had traveled to many other cities. He had been to Nazareth, where he was brought up. He had been to Cana, where he had turned water to wine. He had been to Bethsaida, Philip's hometown. He had been to Gadara, where he had cast the demons called Legion out of a man. He had been as far north as Caesarea Philippi, where Peter made the great confession of faith, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. But the one thing these cities had in common was that they were all located in the region or section of the country that we know as Galilee. And all these cities were basically Jewish cities. Tyre and Sidon, on the other hand, were Gentile cities, cities where the majority of the population was non-Jewish. Not only were they non-Jewish cities, but also they were twin cities, you know, like Dallas and Fort Worth, like Oakland and San Francisco, like Beaumont and Port Arthur, like St. Paul and Minneapolis, like Seattle and Tacoma. While on the borders of these two coastal cities, the master instructed Judas to disperse some funds from the treasury so they could rent a house. Now, that may sound strange because y'all know there is talk among some folk who really don't go to church, who look for reasons to point fingers of condemnation at the church. They say, why does the church take offerings, and why does the church need money? Jesus didn't take offerings, and he didn't need money. Amen. Those are folk who don't read the Bible. Amen. Because that is not the case biblically. His ministry not only generated money for his own personal needs, but he also had a full-time staff. He had 12 assistants, and some of the disciples had families to support. So you need to understand that when they gave up their livelihood to follow the master and become his disciples, he not only took care of them, he also became responsible for their families. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were in the fishing business with their father, Zebedee and Sons Incorporated. But the master came by one day and said, drop your nets. You no longer are in the trout catching business. You fish for me now, and I fish for souls. You need to know that Levi, Alphaeus' son, who was called Matthew, the tax collector, he was sitting in his office collecting taxes. The master stopped by and said, follow me. Matthew just got up and followed Jesus. He didn't even give the IRS his two-week notice. Another reason why I know Jesus was not a penniless prophet
was because Judas was embezzling funds from the treasury. He had been stealing for a long time before anybody found out. And if they only had $2 or $3, it would have been easy to miss that. Well, now, where did Jesus get money from in the first place in order to have a treasury? Well, if you read Luke 8, you will discover that the people whom he ministered unto shared their substance with him. In Tyre, the master wanted a place where he and his disciples could spend some time in private. He didn't want anybody to know they were there, but the Bible says he could not be hidden. Ain't that like our Jesus? He was the well-known Christ. The purpose of the master's trip to the Gentile cities of Tyre and Sidon was to get away from the critical opposition of the Jewish leaders. He needed that time along with his disciples so that he could prepare them for Calvary. Y'all know that being human as well as divine, he grew weary and he grew worn. You Bible readers who have studied the ministry of the master know that his ministry was met with constant resistance. The Pharisees and the other religious folk continually followed him around. And do y'all know why they were following him around? It was not to hear what he had to say. Their reason for following him around was because they wanted to trip the master up. They wanted to discredit him. Amen. That's why I travel by myself. Because there are always folk who are looking to trip you up, amen, to catch you. And then they'll point out and say he was there, but they won't say that they were there. And when they weren't following him, they had spies follow him. Sooner or later, my brothers and sisters, that kind of opposition will cause you to grow weary. Do I have a witness today? And the human Jesus had to get away for a little while. The religious rulers were constantly trying to find fault in him. They were constantly trying to turn the people away from him. They called him a winehead. They called Jesus a glutton. They said he was inhospitable. And when he was friendly, they accused him of being friendly with the wrong folk. If they talked about Jesus, can I tell you something? They're going to talk about you. Do I have a witness today? When he would perform miracles, they would call him a devil. When he would teach in the synagogues, they would call a meeting on him and discuss how to get rid of him for good. Sooner or later, that kind of opposition will cause you to grow weary. And the human Jesus just had to get away for a while. So he found this place on Gentile soil. They had too much religion to be found among Gentiles, so they weren't going to follow him there. Another thing you Bible readers will pick up on is that wherever the master went, he was soon followed by what the Bible calls a great multitude. That means many folk. And after constantly ministering to the needs of great crowds of people, the human Jesus needed to get away for a while. Amen, amen. The fame of the master had reached Tyre and Sidon before he did. Why? Because a certain woman had heard that Jesus was in town. She had heard that he was a healer and a worker of miracles. She made up her mind that she would go and see Jesus because she had some problems in her home that she could no longer cope with. A devil had come into her house and got into her daughter, and it was making her home life miserable. At that point, I saw the first step in getting the devil out of your house. Here's the first point. The first step is to recognize and realize the fact that he's there. You got to recognize. You got to realize that he's there. Because in so many cases, y'all, parents refuse to recognize and realize the fact that the devil has got a hold on your child. You know, that's your baby, that's my mutton, that's my little boo-boo, amen, amen. Ain't nothing wrong with him, he's going to grow out of it, amen. He's just a boy, you know, boys will be boys. Oh, she's just going through puberty, she's going to be all right, amen. Little by little, they lose touch and they lose influence with their children, and more, the satanic system and the influence of this world begins to dominate their lives. Some parents say, oh, they're just young, and you know how young people are. Amen. There's some folk right now who are 40 years old, and they still ain't grown out of it. Come on, I got one witness in here. The devil had this woman's daughter in our text. I've heard some parents, in the name of being contemporary and modern, say, I'm not going to drag my children to church the way my parents drug me to church. I'm going to wait until they grow up and let them decide on their own. Can I tell you something? That ain't modern thinking. That's foolish thinking. Is there anybody in the house who can look back over your life now and say, I'm thankful that my mama, I'm thankful that my daddy made me get up out of that bed and go to Sunday school and go to church? Amen. That kind of thinking is straight from the influence of the devil. If the devil is in your house, you'll never get rid of him until you recognize and realize the fact that he's in there. Stop excusing stuff. Come on, stop excusing stuff that you know your mom and your daddy never would have put up with. Stop excusing stuff. Amen. Stop excusing, letting your child talk to you any kind of way. And I never will forget, amen, I got to be careful because I'll call names. I'm not going to call any names, but I never will forget. Let me go on and just say that one of my brothers, amen, he would come home to visit with his wife and his children. And see, my daddy ran a different kind of house. And when my brother would come home with his wife and with his little boys, amen, they would climb on the coffee table. They would climb. They'd open the room to my little, when they were little bitty fellas, they would do this and do that. And they'd run and get in front of the TV and get the remote and change the channel and all of that. And my daddy, amen, got old school and pulled his bed out. And my brother said, no, 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 we don't whip them. We don't want to break their spirit. Amen. But is there anybody in the house who knows that every now and then you got to break that spirit? If it's the wrong spirit, you've got to recognize and realize when it's the devil who's influencing your child. But then the second point, the next step is determine to do something about it. Don't sit around with your head in your hands talking about, Lord, I can't do nothing with these children. You'd better do something with them. Can I tell you why? Because if you don't, the police will. If you won't, the judge will eventually do something with them. And the devil doesn't necessarily have to be in your children. Come on, he'll get into anybody in your house. Do I have a witness? He'll get into that husband. He'll get into that wife. Just when you getting dressed for church on Sunday morning, you've been praying and asking the Lord to consecrate your heart and your spirit towards worship. And in the car, on the way to church, that wife will say something that gets all in your spirit. And then you get in here and can't say amen. Come on, where am I helping? That husband will say something that will get in your spirit. And it ain't nothing but the devil trying to mess with your worship and mess with your praise. Is there anybody? I'm your pastor. But every now and then, this Wednesday, I couldn't even teach the lesson because so much is going on. I let it get in my spirit that hindered me from bringing forth the word that God had prepared for me on Wednesday night. But thanks be to God. I said, thanks be to God that if you've got the Holy Ghost, somebody said he may not come when you want him, but won't he show up right in the nick of time? You've got to realize and recognize when it's the devil bothering you, and then you've got to do something about it. I guess I need to suggest to you here that there is only one thing you can do about the devil, and that is make your way to Jesus. Now, the sad thing is that there are those who will turn to any and everything before they turn to Jesus. Some folk tried to buy the devil out. Amen. Amen. If he's in the children, y'all know how we do. Amen. We're going to send them to summer camp. Amen. We're going to get them some non-Christian counseling. We're going to send them to an expensive private school, or we're going to try vacations. We're going to, amen, try trips to amusement parks. But you can't get the devil out of your house with money. One songwriter said, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Then some folk try to get the devil out of their house by going to the devil. What are you talking about, Pastor? I'm talking about the fortune teller. I'm talking about the voodoo lady. And don't y'all act like, amen, because we're not in New Orleans, amen, that voodoo don't live around Leesville. I've had some folk try to work some voodoo on me, but I thank God that I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. I thank God that the Holy Ghost is more powerful than any voodoo. Amen. Found a hollowed out egg under my porch at my house. Somebody was trying to work a spell on me, but they didn't know that the God that I serve is the great God who rules the universe. And is there anybody here who can be thankful that if God is for you, he's more than the world against you? You ought to give him praise. Don't go to the devil to try to get rid of the devil. The zodiac man can't help your child. The palm reader can't help your child. The crystal ball seer can't help you when you get in trouble. They don't realize that the devil is not going to cast out the devil. You better run to Jesus. Come on, tell your neighbor, make your way to the master. Come on, tell somebody you better get to Jesus. And you've got to determine in your heart and in your head that nothing is going to stop you from getting to Jesus. In Matthew's account of this miracle, the record states that the disciples wanted Jesus to send this woman away. They didn't want to be bothered with her, and they didn't want her taking up the master's time. However, this woman had a daughter who the devil had gotten a hold of, and she had determined in her heart and in her head that nothing would stand in the way of her getting some help for her child. I heard Sister DeGray say in the Sunday school lesson this morning that when it comes to a mother and her child, she ain't gonna let nothing, amen, hinder her from getting help for her child. The reason the disciples wanted to turn her away is because they placed value, more value on custom than they did on compassion. Church, we gotta be a compassionate people. We gotta learn how to love folk. Amen. In spite of what they've got on, in spite of how they look, in spite of where they're from, whether they're from the top, the middle, or the bottom, we've got to learn how to love folk. We've got to have compassion. The reason they were able to want to turn this woman away is because they placed more value on ritual than they did on righteousness. They placed more value on tradition than they did on tenderness. They place more value on formality than they did on people. The Bible says that woman came and threw herself at the feet of Jesus. The fact that she was a woman and that she approached the master, like I told you last Sunday, at that time women were considered second-class citizens. But is there anybody here who's glad to know that Jesus loves you just like you are? Amen. The Bible says, come to him just like you are. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, he died for the ungodly. He didn't wait for you to get right. Somebody ought to praise him right through there. He didn't wait for you to stop drinking. He didn't wait for you to stop smoking the blunt. He didn't wait for you to stop dancing. He didn't wait, amen, for you to clean yourself up before he received you into his family. While we were yet sinners, he died for the ungodly. And so, my brothers and sisters, if you're experiencing a situation where you have the devil in your house, I come by to tell you that, number one, you've got to just go on and acknowledge.